kids that have already passed, dated March 2016, 15 January 2016, unless they are typing errors.
You're absolutely correct, that should be 2017. Because remember, it's new action steps that they must undertake to report back on the hearing. So thank you very much for be awake.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, the third column is the tracking document from the Secretariat side. Right, colleagues, we're still on 54. Anything else? Can we go to 55? Honourable Ramakhani, do you put it? Yes, Honourable Gadi.
On page 55, I wonder where we will accommodate the concern I have. To which extent the committee is interested in knowing progress or rather a report on retired personnel who have been rehired and the conditions of their rehiring. I mean, with the advent of the Godam Minister private issue on the rehiring of retired personnel, to which extent is it applicable to the police?
Yeah, you mean in terms of, remember in the hearing last week, I think some of the members asked questions about re-enlistments, and there was a report given, I think, in detectives as well as visible. But so we're monitoring that. Last year we had a specific recommendation on it, but not this year. If I remember correctly, and remember the acting national commissioner indicated there was an increase, I think, in the number of people who were re-enlisted, especially in the detective environment. 800, yeah. Yeah. So we received a report on that last week. Right, members?
Honourable. I've asked that question, and I'm not sure whether it, I didn't see it in the annual report. So maybe we should include the question. There's nothing wrong just putting in the question. That we get the final report on that. We can even say it for the last, well, previous financial year, and say, yeah, let's make it for the last financial year because that's a reporting period. But I think we can include it. It's letting provide the figures, let me know.
The re-enlistment. In terms of the five programs, yeah, that's fine. In which we'll include that, yeah, that's fine.
Chairperson, maybe much as we say re-enlistment, specifically now the issue arises that with the advent of the Minister Pravi Gordhan saga, to which extent Is it more likely to arise in the subs environment? Because as a matter of fact, we know that a re-enlistment is not necessarily a re-enlistment. There are people who ask for early retirement, they are now being re-enlisted. So it should not only be re-enlistment, but the nature of re-enlistment. I mean, you are being re-enlisted, having left under what circumstances?
Yeah, we discussed it a few months ago. There's a certain set of criteria in the previous round that was set out by the National Commissioner then on what is the criteria. For instance, you can only join at a certain rank, notwithstanding the rank you had previously. You shouldn't have any criminal records. And there was also some health categories were excluded. We've asked those, and that was provided to the committee. I think it was also raised at the last engagement. So there is, I think, there was indication from the Acting National Commission. In some instances, there's a change in the criteria, but let's give the other members, Honourable Ramadi Ghani, when it comes in on that issue.
Now, Chair, I was just going to say, it was reported on, but I think it makes, doesn't actually create any crisis were to say an update on enlistment was that point that honourable members raised is covered in that enlistment program. Anybody who was in search and left and come back will be listed there in terms of that information will tell you if this person has been retired, with a retirement age, because it deals with generally people who took their retirement, who left for one reason or the other. There will be a category of people who do not include it in the investment program that are prohibited from those that were fired, for an example. So I think adding a column, maybe those columns should be added on the page 43 to 54, one column specifically about that particular report. And then whatever question may arise on that report that we get as a committee going forward.
Right, members, let's go on. Yes, Honourable Leonard.
Page 55, just point 5 there, 7.1, point 3.5. The committee recommends that the SAP annual report should contain disaggregated data. If we could just make that clear and say disaggregated data on disciplinary matters. It's implied, but it doesn't expressly cover them.
Thanks, Chair. I've got just a handful of issues on 54 and 55, if I can just run through them, and then Mr. Kendis can just track them. On 54, second sentence under 7.1.2 is just to correct that, to say performance targets to ensure that they add value, because it's plural referring to targets, and then similarly line below that, and that they do not have unintended consequences. On page 55.2 at the top, I wasn't quite sure or comfortable about that term, portfolio holders. I think maybe it should be more pointed to say, either individuals responsible, because it's about having one person who's held responsible, or line manager responsible for the intervention links to the timelines. And then it was point 4, with the term actions plans, I think it should be just action, no S, for to say action plans. And then on the point that Honourable Ridley Hayes raised, number 5, on the theme of disaggregation, I know there was also a point raised by him that we should also ask the SAFs to report on disaggregation of rape and domestic violence cases, because right now it's all lumped together as sexual offences, and we need that to be drawn out and pulled apart. And then finally on number 9, point 9 ends by saying that management must put measures in place to reduce this. I wonder if we couldn't just spell it out more clearly to say that management must put measures in place to improve professional conduct of officers in order to reduce this. So kind of draw the causal link from intervention to its nature and then the outcome.
Thanks, Chairperson. 7.1.8. Can we include renovation existing buildings?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to know, what is the committee recommending on the following issues: the plight of police reservists, the exponential amount on civil claims against the police service, the recommendations of the committee on the role of police on the Fees Must Fall campaign and the right of assembly, the use of rubber bullets in view of an international prohibition on such use of rubber bullets, the recommendation of the committee on Metro Police and private security services. Thank you.
Yeah, Honorable Gadi, some of those issues we have dealt with in our, let's say, bilateral interactions with SAPS, most of them. In some of the, these two or three of these issues is included in the recommendations, like the reservist policy, specifically today, the issue of force application, I mean, we also use, dealt with it last year, but some of the issues we already dealt with in bilateral, but not during our discussions. So it will be difficult from a process point of view to include them now, you know, at the end of the process we haven't engaged on responses with regard to that. But I think the content advisor can maybe just look at our recommendations and list what of those issues are included. Honourable Ramatlakane and then Honourable Rielingheis. Thank you.
Partly covered, Chair, that on the private security there will be a separate report on Friday that deals with PCRA, so some of the issues can be dealt with there, not sufficiently covered. But on the difficulty, I was going to say, on the new matters, it's going to be difficult to add them on the report, just from nowhere, just to add them. I think this is a matter that can be dealt with at a bilateral engagement, but that's when they come. But the difficulties that we're going to have is to how do they get into the report without having had a discussion.
Just to the fees must fall issue, we have had, I think, three engagements with SAP since last year, and with public order policing that also came to us recently, where we raised most of those issues. So that we have done from an oversight point of view, but as I said, it was not specifically raised in the budget hearings. But I think we'll note those and going forward to deal with it. Right? Please, Hon Magadi. And then Hon Groenewald and then Hon Rielingheis. Sorry.
Thank you very much. I think the process is not closed because the report is not adopted. We need to find a way as a committee to raise the topical issues of national importance. The plight of police reservists cannot be an issue of bilaterals or that it was discussed in the past year or so. It should find expression in this committee report.
Gary, sorry, I'm going to just take it issue by issue. And those that are not exhausted, let's take that one.
The reservist issue, we've asked, they're busy finalizing the reenlistments or the review of the reservist policy the Commissioner indicated. It will be, we've written it into the reporting matters for the end of the financial year because they'll finalize it by the end of the financial year. Just find out the reserves because that is the data that changed when you indicated 20. So sorry, that's page 54. The SAPS to provide the committee with a full. Is it not there? Sorry, 53 on the Bulgari. The SAPS to supply the committee with a copy of the new reserves policy and the intake specifications when completed. So they must do that by the end of the financial year because they did indicate that they're busy fine-tuning it and there's been a lot of clamour about getting reserves back to the stations and the committee even met on its oversight visit around the issue of reserves. The other issue of civil claims, one of the reasons why the committee is asking for this aggregated data on civil claims as well is the committee wants to pinpoint which police stations are contributing to the most civil claims. And I think that was some of the questions that the members had asked, so that you can pinpoint and say that which province and which police station is responsible for the most incidents of human rights abuses and so forth and so on. And that brings with your other question on the public order policing unit as well, how much they're responsible for. Then the fees must fall, Honourable Chair. As the chairperson indicated, there were three engagements on how the police are handling the fees must fall protests. The police had to come and report to the committee what they're doing and what they're not doing around fees must fall, and then the committee also summoned the Metropolis. The Metropolis was also here, they also had to give answers as to what their role was in the fees must fall. And recently when the private security regulatory authority was here, those are the same questions that was posed to them. And more importantly, what weapons they were using as well came up for discussion. I think those are the other matters, except for the use of rubber bullets.
So most of those issues as part of our normal oversight, program, just to bring it into the picture.
Chairperson, this BRRR report is going to the House. It should raise certain issues of national importance, of which the committee, having had discussion about those issues, having had an oversight visit, having had bilaterals, they should find an expression in its recommendations. It can't be just that we've discussed it. I mean, the issue of police brutality as of yesterday on the fees must fall throughout the country cannot just be an issue to say it cannot find expression in this report to the House. It should find an expression. The issue of police reserves, I think it has been captured by the way in this report. It has not been captured in a way that it demonstrates the weight and seriousness of that issue. Yes, there has been discussion on the issue of the use of deadly force in general on service delivery protests, on people having a lawful assembly. But in view of the escalating conflicts in the country, it can't be that this issue does not find an expression in this committee report. The process of this report is not closed, hence we are sitting here today. That it has not been discussed in the previous committees does not preclude that it be incorporated in this report, because these three particular issues, or four, are of a national importance, and they must find expression and be discussed by the House, because before we know it, we'll be burying people who are victims of rubber bullets.
Yes, I've got a point of order there from Honourable Malabatsi and then Honourable Renegais.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, my understanding is we are discussing a report of things that transpired in all those hearings. And we are not bringing in new things into the report. Whilst I understand what Honourable Gadi is saying, we're all concerned about the fees must fall and the repercussions thereof. We're all very concerned. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Rilanes.
Thank you. I mean, I think the purpose of a BRRR report or BRRR report is quite clear, and it's outlined on page one. When it comes to raising matters of national importance, you do that through a Rule 103 debate, request to the Speaker, or motions in the House. And I want to concur with Honourable Molobatsi in that this is a reflection of the discussions we had had and the engagements we had had, and in effect, this is an adoption of a minutes-type meeting. We cannot add new issues that did not transpire. And on the issue of fees must fall, I remember I spoke to Sarah at the time about students. We've spoken to the reservists. That's where the recommendation emanates from, on the revised policy. That was one of the stuff that came up. But, I mean, a way forward for us perhaps would be to have another follow-up engagement with the minister and the police commissioner and CIRA and the relevant Metro Police Department on the fees must fall, either in the next 2 months or wherever. And that would be a better platform to discuss this issue and to tear apart the issues in that debate.
Yeah, I think maybe to sum up, Honourable Gardner, I think we note your concerns and matters, but I think that the majority of the House's view is that let's continue with the process. I think in those issues you have raised that was discussed last week on the report, of course, those other issues we will, of course, as we schedule our other interactions, also ensure that they are given the necessary attention. Yes, Honourable Gardner.
Chairperson, there is no denial by committee members that those issues we are raising have actually been discussed by this committee. Now, that they have been discussed previously by this committee, therefore, leads to a conclusion which says they should find expression in this report. Because this is the most important report that is going to be presented to the House, and it must raise those topical issues of national importance of which the committee actually did discuss, did consider in its previous sitting. So if it did, therefore it cannot be said that it cannot be in this report, because we need to say as a committee, we recommend the following on the following issues on the police reserves. It cannot just be as it has been captured here. We need to re-emphasize a recommendation on the police reserves. We need to re-emphasize through a recommendation the use of deadly force on the fist must fall. We need to raise to re-emphasize a recommendation on the issue of claims against the state, and probably even agree that there must be instances where such a claim against the state is deducted from any pension due to that particular officer of the state who is liable for bringing the state into liability. And if we cannot raise it now in this most important report that goes to the House for a House resolution, then it would not have done justice to our people.
Thank you, Honourable Gordy. I think I see a tree of hands, but let's go in the order. Honourable Groenewald, Honourable Jellinghuis, Honourable Ramatlakane, Honourable Marke, Honourable Olabatsi, Honourable Mamula, and then we continue. Yes.
Chairperson, firstly, this is a report on the previous financial year. It's a 2015-2016 financial year on the annual report and everything. I don't know the internal things from the EFF. I see for the first time the honourable member of this committee. So he will get ample time to raise those issues with the police commissioner sitting at the opposite. And we had those engagements. This report is about the 2015 annual report. And as far as I'm concerned, all actions of police is of high priority. If we want to put a specific issue on the table, then there will be a meeting with that, and then we can compile a report if it's necessary. But it's not a part of the BRRR report, because and that's part of the systems problem. I agree in a certain sense, because we are actually giving a report on a previous financial year and the annual report we received. So this is not the place to raise this specific issue in a specific report. Thank you.
Honourable Jellinghuis, then Honourable Ramatlakane.
Chairperson, I think there are two reports that Honourable Gordy is conflating. There's an annual report of the committee and its work that we've done, and there we will find what we have done. And then this process which reviews the year past, but also for us to, and we have in our individual reports, after the engagement with the reservists, after the engagement with CIRA, after the engagement with the Fees Must Fall discussion, in those reports that we adopted in the House, there were specific recommendations as well. And this is, it's tracked through that process as well. We can ask the Secretariat and they would provide us with information on whether we've received the information, all of those things. So I think it is really two very separate processes that are being conflated.
Okay. Mine was just a simple order thing, that the order that we need to follow is the normal order. Certainly, Honorable Gardner's got his views, but that views cannot be imposed over committee that now we must follow a different process. And we are now not moving, we're standing still on this issue. My suggestion is that we should move forward with the issue that we are busy with now. And then we will come back in other issues. But I think that for now we are not necessarily moving forward. And certainly on perspective of issues, we would be afforded an opportunity to engage with that. But we can't smuggle it in a way in a report that does not, that has got no bearing to those kind of issues. We will have equal opportunity as members here to engage and persuade each other what must be in, what is the perspective that we eventually agree to. The issues that Honorable Gadi, including the issue about how to adopt the salaries of the, that's a different issue that we can't agree just like that by just one comment to include it in the report. I really proceed to suggest that we proceed with the pages of the
Honorable Markey.
I think I'm covered on that one, because maybe some of the things that Honorable Gadi has mentioned will be in the next report, not this one. But already, this financial year, we have already met in relation to the things that he's talking about. But the fees must fall for this year. We called in the relevant people we talked about. Maybe they will be in the next financial report, not this one. So I think I concur that we continue.
Chairperson, I am covered by the fact that we must continue. We haven't suspended this, to be honest, and it's just time consuming now. And also grandstanding, Chairperson, it's like we in this committee were not, you know, sensitive of other things. We are all very responsible citizens of this country, and we are very responsible. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am covered by other members, but the only thing that we must remember, Honorable Gadi is not sitting in this portfolio. What he has done, he was supposed to go to Honorable Mhlongo and update him about his portfolio committee. Because now we are going back and back, and we did all these things that he needs. Let's refer Honorable Gadi to Honorable Mhlongo, who is a member of this portfolio committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
Sorry, on point of order, I thought the Honorable Member is a member of the committee. That's changed or something. Is he not a member of the committee?
Honorable Markey.
Can I continue on page 56?
Yeah, maybe Honorable Gadi, I think we heard you, and I think you get the sentiment of the committee. We appreciate your contribution, but the ruling we're making is that we're going to continue with the process.
Chairperson, the engagement of the committee throughout its lifespan until today for the financial year that we are talking about should find expression in the report. This report is a report of composite activities of the portfolio committee. If the annual report of SAPS is found wanting and is inadequate in that it did not report extensively on the issues that we are raising, so it should be said in this report and as a recommendation of this committee that the annual report was found wanting on the following, and it should be considered as such, and recommendations made around those issues. The fact that I've never sat in this committee doesn't mean that we are off the loop on the dealings of this committee. We are reading very well. We are following up on all matters of all committees, and it can't be an excuse. After all, I'm a member of the National Assembly. We can go to every committee from time to time. We do read, we do have study groups even in the ESF, and it cannot be a justification that this matter be brushed aside. Be as it may, I think we should put it on record, therefore, that in the absence of this report, taking into consideration the issues that we have raised, we will not support the view that the report be adopted.
Yeah, but the question only comes on Friday. So thank you for your contribution. Let's continue, colleagues. We're on page 56, or 55, sorry.
I was already
56.
On page
56, yes.
Just I'm not sure whether on point number 14, I'm not sure whether it was then suggested that SAPS must look into a stipend for the CPFs. I can't remember whether we mentioned that or might have.
I think maybe one of the, I don't know whether it's one of the, yeah, remember it's actually a secretariat matter. Remember it was raised during our oversight visit to New Brighton, police station, by the chairperson of the Community Police Forum, very strongly. So, but I mean, if you look at the framework of the white paper, it's a matter for the secretariat to, because it's not part of SAP's core business in terms of stipends. Okay. Colleagues, anything else on 56?
Just a question on recommendation 28 on page 57 at the end, because I remember you spoke to it when we first did the review of the recommendations at the beginning. It was just to check whether it speaks about obligations to comply with SAPS Act. Is that obligation in terms of reporting requirements with reference to the DPCI head or to the minister with reference to the DPCI? Just want to check where the accountability is being done. Both. Okay. And the head, okay.
Chairperson, if I was to be reminded on the same point 28, the very last sentence, what are we referring to there? I'm just I was referring to the very last sentence. The committee further resolved that no further extension to comply with the SAPS Act of 1995 would be granted in terms of the reporting requirements. So I just wanted to.
Let's just say on the remark of the Honourable Gandhi that maybe you should go and read this report. because I heard what he said, and it is actually a reflection to the members of this committee, which is not acceptable for me. He mentioned specifically the highlighting of the students, the fees must fall and everything, but if you read the report on visible programming, point number 18, we specifically refer to such review and strengthen the implementation of policy directives regarding the use of firearms, including establishment of independent mechanism review process for excessive use of force incidents. So, with great respect, Chairperson, I have a problem, and I know the honourable member may attend any committee meeting, portfolio committee meeting. They have no voting rights on that committee. But to come in a committee to make sweeping statements reflecting to honourable members is not acceptable for me. It's incorrect. He doesn't know what is happening in the police portfolio committee. If he follows, if the study group follow every debate, if they study and see if there are some quarterly reports, and I think if there's one portfolio committee that's working very hard and keeping a good oversight on the police, it is this committee in Parliament. And it is not acceptable for me. And I put it on record. As he put something on record, I put it on record. He doesn't know what is happening in the committee, and he can't come and make sweeping statements. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, I've got the right of replying. Chairperson, there are no aspersions that have been cast on this committee. And I've never said anything that impugns on the dignity of the members here. All I said is that there has been discretion on the topical issues that I have raised. But those discussions do not find expression very clearly in this report and with the weight at which it deserves. It can be a general sweeping statement about excessive use of force and this and that. We are saying that there should be a clear recommendation on the following issues. Notwithstanding that for one reason or the other they may not have been captured in the annual report. And it can be that maybe we should be accused that we have just barged in here and we have made sweeping statements about members. We have not actually done so. All we are saying is that we will exercise our right to decide and find a way to say, do we agree with this report being taken to the House or not? And it should be known upfront that where the report is inadequate, does not raise topical issues of national importance, we'll definitely reserve our rights in that regard because we do not see them being reflected here in the weight which it deserves. Thank you.
Right, colleagues, let's continue page 58. Anything?
Just one yes. Point, and you actually had already pointed to it when you stumbled over the word on recommendation 35, that should be to avoid familiarity, not familiarly. Yeah. And actually, if I may suggest, maybe it should be over familiarity to kind of nail it down.
Chair, if I may, I don't necessarily disagree with working conditions because I think there's reference to our long hours and so on, but I think we need to include the issue of the infrastructure issue, the kind of the accommodation, because this is that recommendation that deals with it. So the accommodation in particular, the one of the Free State, and we should bring it in that part so that we don't have to have a separate paragraph.
Chairperson, I don't know how can we put this one in because it came up that doing even what they are not supposed to be doing outside their job description, you know, kind of.
Remember, General Sitoli indicated the roadshow that's currently underway, but also the approach that there must be a framework discussion at the start of commencement of duty in the at the executive level. There must be a discussion between the relevant commanders and the executive authority. So this is the roles, a kind of service level agreement, but do you want to make it stronger? Because, you know, currently it says the committee recommends that the department should continue with its endeavors to cultivate the relationship of mutual respect between the executive and the VFI protected students and all. Enhancement and continuation of current roadshows.
Chair, perhaps it could be surfaced in recommendation 33, because it's an aspect of working conditions. It's about hours, working hours. It's about the nature of the relationship with the executive authority. Yeah, maybe it's a matter of giving that as an example of issues within working conditions to be improved.
But the
Honourable Gardi, thank you.
The job description part doesn't appear there on 33. Remember the example they gave of sending a protector to go and buy bread after hours?
Honourable Gardi, you're welcome.
On the same question, as you said, General Sitoli specifically said that they are seeing individual executive members to deal with this issue. Maybe we can add on point 34, but for me it's enough. As it is, because if they've got a good relationship, then you don't send him to go and buy it. That's my understanding.
Honorable Gardi, you're welcome.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think when we look at the point 36, we should add a sentence which says, and such mitigation actions includes but not limited to a drastic reduction of the personnel at the disposal of the executive on such services. I mean the big mob of protection services personnel that are given to the executive really does not warrant such a quantity in view of this country is not a hostile country, and you cannot really justify the number of protection services personnel being accorded to executives. Of course, maybe the president is something else, but the rest, I mean, for an MEC to have those kind number of people at disposal for 24 hours, it makes no sense. And furthermore, if General Sitoli spoke of individual executives who are abusing those protection services personnel, the committee must recommend that if he said it on record, he must definitely give us the list of those members of the executive. And there is nothing wrong in providing us the list of those members of the executives who are actually committing the state to such embarrassment and excessive expenditure associated with personnel services.
Chairperson, if I was to get in, this takes us back to what Honorable Kunewald said. General Sitoli never said that there are people who abuse. He said he's going to individual can't go back on that again because of some misunderstanding. All of us here understood what I was saying because they were there.
That it's reviewed and then they come with a specific report. So, I mean, discuss it in detail. So it would be for us not correct to include such a study, but let's get the other members on the whole Ramadan.
No, Chair, the 36 have said it's sufficient. I don't think I would agree with the of the that has been suggested by Honorable Kadi. I think I will leave it at that because I think there's a budget on all these things. There is a task, there is legislation that govern all the things that we're talking about here. And I think we should be very mindful of the role of the VIP because there's a legislation about it. There's a responsibility of the VIP with respect to the executive. So I don't think we can sit here and say that there is this and that and the other. So that's why I'm saying the 36 as it stands, I think we should go with it. We certainly can't agree with the additions that has been suggested.
Chairperson, I think what has been said, but it's a good example. The Honourable Member comes here making a statement. Is completely incorrect because it didn't attend the meeting. In fact, I raised the issue for the last 2 years. And in fact, it was said that if we as members are aware of such a situation, we must come forward with it. And I'd use the example to say that the protector himself or herself will never put it into the front because, I mean, they in that specific position. So really, Chairperson, we're wasting time. With members coming here, they're most welcome, but don't come and waste our time.
My colleagues, we're going to finalize this because I want
Chairperson.
Yes.
I wouldn't want really to respond to Honorable Member Kulimbat, but I think he continues to provoke me on an issue that I have explained myself, and I don't have to explain myself again to him. We have a right to be here. We are following all meetings. We have a report before us which says there are instances of a task outside their legitimate duties that are being given to these protectors. We are saying that it can't be in a report if you don't know the specifics of those executive members who do so. And if the general has never said it, there's nothing wrong by saying this committee recommends to the House that the General Sithole should, at this time period, provide a list of members of the executive
point of order,
from
sorry,
which
Honorable,
amongst
Honorable
complaints have been received.
There's a point of order, Honorable Ghani.
I just want to call an order. I think the chair is over generous. Over generous. There has not been a report about this. The example of a hypothetical example has not been tested and with any facts. So I don't think we should allow the breaking of this discussion really out of context. It's not necessarily what we're doing with the committee. I think we should proceed with the document.
Yeah. Colleagues, thank you. Can we, because I want to move to the secretariat, that we move with that. So, colleagues, that is the report of SAPS. We will then, unless there's anything else, on Friday morning at 9, we will go through it to adopt. So thank you very much for your input. Colleagues, we go to the...
Chairperson, I think this must not be left unsaid. I don't think it's acceptable that Honorable Gadi comes here and blackmails us. That if we don't put this in this report, he's not going to vote for it.
Let it be so. Why should we be blackmailed? We know what is in here, we have been there, we went through all of this thing. And why should we, if he wants to vote against it, it's up to him. What else can we do? And we are not going to be blackmailed anymore.
Colleagues, I'm going to continue. Sorry, we're going to go.
Can I make a last remark? All the names of the executives were already in the newspaper. You can just go and read the newspapers, do their study.
Right, we're going to the civilian report,
Chairperson, the civilian secretary. Chairperson, you rather expunge the on record what the previous member has said. Otherwise, we have a right to reply. It can be said, and it's not challenged that we are being blackmailed here. For a political party and its representative to sit in a committee and make inputs and also say that we need to look at these inputs, they should be. I mean, it's our right to decide and tell you upfront whether we'll agree or not. And that cannot be said to be a blackmail. And for that word, unless he withdraws that word blackmail, otherwise it is improper and it cannot be allowed that he has got the right to say that and it is closed and then we move into the next issue. No way.
I definitely don't withdraw and I can even repeat it. That's a clear, blatant blackmail. You don't put this into this report, I'm not going to vote. What do you call that?
That's the nature of democracy, to decide whether to vote or not to vote and to put your conditions. And it cannot be said that it is blackmail. And it is the chairperson now who must make a ruling on this on the statement of the member. It cannot be.
The ruling I'm making now is that we've concluded the matter. I'm not going to allow any more debate. We decided 10 minutes ago we're not going to debate the matter. Members are raising it again and again. So let's go to the report of the civilian secretariat. It is a 27-page document. I'm going to go to the committee recommendations on page 25. The first recommendation is the committee requires the secretariat to reconsider the specifics of the corrective measures of the AG recommendations it proposes, as it is too broad and generic. Two, the committee recommends that the civilian secretariat revises all its performance and financial targets to keep it in line with the SMART principles. Three, the committee recommends that the civilian secretariat sets SMART targets with specific reference to its timelines for implementation of each of the AG recommendations and report to the portfolio committee within 2 weeks. Four, the committee recommends that the civilian secretariat appoints a mandate holder with authority to implement the AG recommendations within stipulated timelines. Five, the committee recommends that the civilian secretariat develop a turnaround strategy for the implementation of all 43 AG recommendations within 2 weeks and report thereon. Six, the committee recommends that the secretariat strengthens the strategic management component. Seven, the committee recommends that the secretariat addresses the expenditure management framework. The committee recommends that the secretariat addresses procurement and contract management processes without delay and put measures in place to change the practices. The committee recommends that the executive authority urgently fills the position of secretary of police and all other critical senior management posts immediately. 10. The committee recommends that the civilian secretariat resolves the debt payment with the independent police investigative directorate within 3 months and reports on the outcome. 11. The committee recommends that all tenders are advertised on the civilian secretariat's website. 12. The committee recommends that the research on demilitarization and professionalization of the SAPS must include the entire SAPS and not only two components. 13. The committee recommends that the civilian secretariat urgently reviews its own budget performance analysis with a view of reaching its revised targets, so to lead by example when it conducts budget performance analysis over the SAPs. The management of the civilian secretariat must see to a speedy implementation of the internal audit committee recommendations. 15. The civilian secretariat must present on the core business and programs to the committee by the 11th of November 2016. The committee recommends that the secretariat fills all vacancies with 17. The committee recommends that the secretary provides the committee with all its research reports, and the committee finally recommends that all members must be vetted and the vetting should be cascaded to lower levels of the organization. So, colleagues, that is the 18 recommendations that that we've made. If we maybe can go to page one, that deals with the description of the core functions and the purpose of the BRRR report, just indicating the process. Is everybody happy with that? Unless there's any errors, mistakes, then we go to page two, that deals with the sections 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, the response of the Minister of Finance on our report of the 2015 review year, and then the overview of the CSP budget and expenditure. Thank you very much. We go to page three, that is an indication of the departmental appropriation that was indicated in the annual report of the CSP, as well as the various programs.
I'm sorry to take this back, but it's something
you're welcome.
It only just came to me, and it's not something that requires resolution right now. I'm just a little bit concerned about this matter of the secretariat only filling funded posts, because I'm remembering the explanation we got from the management team that in terms of things like the excess posts and unfunded posts, it relates to critical functions like the DPCI judge, the appeals board, and the DNA board. Now I know some of those functions are moving to the SEPs. I think the appeals, the firearm appeals board is moving to the SEPs. But I just want to mention that this issue of the Treasury obligation to only fill funded posts shouldn't then undermine the DNA board and the DPCI judge. If we can just make sure that's
let's deal with that under the recommendations. Page three, colleagues, everybody happy? Page four deals with the qualified audit, the matter of the accruals, as well as the receivables. Page four. Is it fine? Can we go to five? Also the AG's report in terms of the statement of the corresponding figures, significant uncertainties, predetermined objectives, as well as the intersectoral coordination strategic partnerships. Everybody happy? Right, let's go to page six, deals with civilian oversight, compliance with legislation, procurement contract management, and expenditure management. Seven as well. Page seven deals then with the governance framework, the report of the audit committee. Five. Can we go to eight? Deals with the regular expenditure, fruitful and fruitless and wasteful, claims against the department, program performance. Page nine, program performance administration. Go to 10, the departmental management, the columns, can we go to 11? Also the performance indicators. 11 points? Can we go to 13? Oh, we are 12. Thank you. Can we go to 14? Finish fine. Can we go to 15? I just want to know in 15, the second paragraph, and the rural safety, what should it be? Just a space between paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4 and the externally continuous advocacy. Right, anything else on 15, colleagues? Can we go to 16?
Last paragraph, number one under that.
Should that be the South African Police Service Amendment Bill, or do they want to introduce an entirely new bill? The very last line there,
the five bills included in
17.
The SAPS bill.
Yeah, it's amendment, yeah. So thank you very much for that. Thank you, Honourable Reading. That's at the bottom of 17, South African Police Amendment Service Amendment.
Chairperson, there in the third paragraph and under regulations is the last bullet, the Critical Infrastructure Protection Act. Is protection is part of the intended bill.
Thank you very much. Honourable Yedlingas is leaving in the afternoon part. Yeah, no, he's not a morning person. He's an afternoon person. He's doing very well.
18.
Second one. Let's go to 19.
before they are processed to cabinet. Is that the way it is to be said? Is it supposed to say also presented to cabinet, or is it supposed to say before they are processed by? Presented to cabinet, not presented. Okay.
Colleagues, anything else on page 19? Go to 20. Go to 21. On page 22, can I just suggest, first paragraph, it speaks of there being no specific asset holder. Can I suggest we use the term that came up in the SAPS BRRR of a mandate holder? That seems more pointed to the meaning we're trying to convey there. Colleagues, can we move to page 23? That sentence is correct there. Under legislative program, line 5, the committee was concerned that the SAPs were providing mixed messages to applicants for license renewal of license application and competency application, but a certainty would be achieved.
that sentence correct in that context?
This relates to the several meetings we've had with finance control sector, where they've complained that they are receiving bigger teachers because they get national instructions and then the police officers, the rank command leaders, do their own thing as against those national instructions.
At the bottom of page 23, just a small punctuation issue, is the middle third sentence of the last paragraph. Secretariat could not execute its mandate, that it needs to be without the apostrophe.
Observation the funded posts. If you maybe got a paragraph, we don't have to go into it immediately, but if you've got a specific suggestion, we'll accommodate it there. Then we're back to 24. Maybe we must just include on page 24 the last paragraph, in November 2016. There might be an expectation that it's November 2017. And we want to ensure that it's quickly, that we just specify that. Colleagues, we're still on page 24. Anything else on 24? Let's go to 25 and then is Honourable Mulabasi.
Is it not necessary that we mention that they have to come back within what did we say? 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
To rectify. We said they must go and rectify and come back within. Don't we mention it?
They meant to report on the 11th of November 2016. It's in the recommendations.
My colleagues, on page 24, I mean, we're dealing with a summary of the reporting requests. We continue that on page 25. So if there's anything else on page 24 and 25, when we start to deal with the committee recommendations. Members will see that we specifically focus this year on the AG recommendations for financial management. I mean, that's the basics. If you don't get that right, the other work is going to be, you know, compromised. So that's really the purpose why we focus on those issues specifically. Yes.
Look at the reporting request number 2 for vacancies. We speak about this post of the Secretary of Police and then the Chief Directors, the two Chief Directors. But then maybe we must include all the other vacancies this year so that it doesn't only reflect the senior management.
Okay, just a comment to that. I think the senior posts you
can head on target and fill within a short space of time. But when it comes to the remainder of the vacancies, I think it would be better for them to follow due process, and it might not happen by the 15th, which would put them foul of our recommendation.
Yeah, just to add on that, even in the recommendations, they are actually separated. There's 9 and 16. I think they will better remain that way. Chairperson, I'm not very sure whether in the recommendations, in our engagements with the civilian secretariat, I remember we said they need more funding. They need more funding. Their budget needs to be increased. I don't see it in the recommendation. I don't know whether it belongs there, but definitely something needs to be done. And I'm not sure whether we, I don't see the DNA board in terms of their funding. I only see budgeting and provide annual and quarterly progress reports. And I don't see the... But we are not saying anything about the funding of the DNA. I'm not sure how that needs to be put in there. And even the funding of the secretariat itself, don't we need to put a recommendation? I'm not sure.
Not that advice also to come in, but I think that the dilemma we're sitting here is that there's been underspending in the secretariat. So from a principal point of view, we can't really argue for more funding if they're not able to, you know, spend the funds that they've been allocated. Treasury will frown upon that. They will just throw it back to us. So that is the dilemma we're sitting with. I mean, one view would be to say there must be look at the structure and so on, but I mean, that's another discussion. We first need a permanent secretary, and then we can have the engagement. What do you need to monitor SAPS and so on? I think that, but let's hear what the content advisor and other colleagues say.
We are meeting with the DNA Forensic and Ethics Board. They're supposed to give us an annual report in November month. So they are coming to do a presentation to the committee. And then on the budget issues, I think that the chair is correct that Treasury will not increase the budgets if they haven't spent the allocation. And that's the problem. If they had asked for additional funding, but they indicated that they are meeting with Treasury on a regular basis. So even if we write it in here, then the Minister of Finance, in his response, will again say that he disagrees with us or he agrees with us, with the committee. So I think we must be really cautious how we word it.
I think, yes, there is an opportunity for us now with the midterm budget to engage on this with the minister, but I think a more appropriate place for this would be during the budget process next year, where Parliament has a much greater role to play in the allocation of funds.
Robert Lacone, I saw you, and sorry.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I was just commenting on the 3, 5, and the comment there is 2 weeks. I was wondering whether it should not be date bound rather than weeks, because weeks can be a moving target on that one. On 4, Chair, the mandate holder, I wasn't sure what is a mandate holder, whether we shouldn't specifically, because by and large, the CFO is a critical element in ensuring that the AG, because mostly they deal with financial performance issues, that, and we were told that there's now a permanent person that has been appointed. Is is a mandate holder, not the CFO in this context.
Like we did with SEPs, we indicated that SEPs must indicate who the person responsible is for making sure that there is implementation. It's not the CFO in all cases. It could be a chief director, it could be the head of department. So there could be different people that are responsible. They must indicate to the committee who are those responsible people or champions for that implementation and then report back. And Honourable Chair, while we are, can I propose in terms of what Mr. Namatakani is saying, that we say in terms of the 2 weeks, this by end of November 2016, gives us sufficient time. And then I just sort of propose, Chair, that we take the at number 5, we take the number 43 out. Because I'm not sure that it is 43 exactly recommendation, and say all the AG recommendations.
Chair, just on the question of timelines, we at this stage are not sure when Parliament will formally adopt these reports. I'm assuming it will be before the end of the month, and then we will in the next 2 weeks when we resume again. So the 30th of November, I think, is a sufficient time for this.
Thank you.
Honourable Markey.
Still on point number 4, page 25. My understanding is that after appointing the mandate holder, then stipulated timelines are going to be drafted. Is that a correct understanding? We don't have a time frame for a mandate holder to be appointed. Therefore, they can't be stipulated within the stipulated timeline. So it means the mandate holder might be appointed sometime next year. And as he or she is appointed, it's then that they sit down and come up with a timeline. And then it's then that there will be implementation. Is that my understanding?
No, I don't think that's the correct understanding. If you remember, the Secretary said they gave for strategic planning in November. And they're going to redraft the meeting with Treasury on that date to review and revisit their targets. So this must happen simultaneously. They should appoint them in the notes immediately, actually. And then within the stipulated timeline given by Parliament, they should report. When they make that report available, the mandate holders should have already been in place, whoever that those individuals are. And it's usually the top layer of managers.
Chair, just to add on to that, I think maybe appoint then is the wrong word, because it's already a person in the staff establishment. Perhaps allocate or designate a mandate holder.
The 43 AG findings, you are right, I have them. I have it also on my
list. Can we move to page 26? Maybe that we must also include in the SEPs one and this one, and even IPAT is just a generic one indicating that the committee recommends that the audit committees of the departments, should appear before the committee, in terms of their performance, and we can decide maybe on what exactly, but the fact that they will be called now in the next 2 weeks, but I mean, it's a firm recommendation that we also formalize that.
I'm under the impression that some departments have got internal audit committees, meaning that it's people who work full time in there. Because even if there are external people within the audit committee, it's still called the internal audit committee. Is my understanding right? So it must be a combination of some internal and is that how the internal audit committee is structured?
reports to the audit committee, that's the external board. Usually the ex officio, the head of the department will be ex officio member, but it's independent outside people. And they report to the audit committee per se, the internal audit unit. I mean, in most cases, departments got permanent staff. In the case of CIRA, it's been sourced out to a firm of accountants, so it, you know, depends.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. The assurance is then also conducted by the Audit General. So all departments must have audit committees because they must look at the finances and they must make recommendations. And the chair said to the audit committee that is external, normally external people, they don't work permanently at the department. And I think they meet four times a year, if I'm correct, most of them. And they are staff in the financial section of the department who works on the recommendations of that audit committee. And they must implement it.
Norilla has, and then we'll mark it.
On point 16, I mean, having now noted the difficulty that there may be in filling lower level posts compared to senior management, would it perhaps not be better to say that the committee recommends that the secretariat fills all vacancies with urgency or urgently fill it? Because immediate effect implies very, very short time span, and we did not indicate a specific date as we did with those in number 9, in recommendation number 9.
Thank you, Chairperson. Number 12, do we have a time frame for that? Or is it not possible to give a time frame?
We can't give a time frame. It's say by the end of the financial year.
Chair, and then just a spelling issue on recommendation 8 is practices at the end there should be with a C. This is the noun form.
Chair, if I may, just a comment related to number 15. I mean, I think I'm personally very concerned about the state of the secretariat, and I know that is shared by the committee. And I would like to suggest from the committee perspective that subsequent to this briefing on their core business and program, that we in our own program look at having them more frequently to brief us on legislation and policy, their civilian oversight. Because I think often in the high profile that the SAPS has, that the civilian secretariat tends to take a backseat. And I highly recommend that we continuously engage them on a more regular basis on their core business and programs, which they will outline to us by the 11th.
Suggestion, I think, and maybe also leading up to our interaction in the next 2-3 weeks, ask the researchers to give us also a research brief on progress and issues that we must maybe highlight. Honourable Gardy? The members are with us, they are waiting. Right. Any other?
Jefferson, we talked about the CPFs and we said that we don't need here. I think that there must be a recommendation from the AG in relation to that. Can't trace it now. But if we are to put in recommendations in here, what would we say? Since we have already said that there's been a but as a matter of principle, maybe. I'm not sure how we can put it in.
Honourable Mark, if you remember, the Deputy Minister raised this about the CPS and stipends for the CPS, which he put on the SAPS transformation task. So there's no reason why we can't put in the recommendation that the Secretariat must research what opportunities there are for stipends for members of the CPF.
Chair, just a question for clarity, because I think I'm covered, but yeah. Because the big issue that I had raised during the engagement with the Secretariat was in relation to what one might unkindly call the unfair plundering of the Secretariat budget in relation to that We Are One campaign, which then impinged on other performance areas of the Secretariat, which to me fundamentally is an internal financial control issue where the brakes weren't applied early enough in that regard. So, I mean, broadly speaking, I would think that's covered by recommendation 7 and 8 in terms of expenditure management and procurement and contract management. But I just want to make sure that, because it's quite a broad category that 7 and 8 speak to, is that, are those the recommendation themes that would cover that sort of concern around internal controls, spending monitoring, so that you avoid overextending yourself with those ad hoc commitments?
No, Chair, not specifically. I think we might raise this specifically as...
No, maybe we can just maybe add and say the committee recommends that the Secretariat addresses project planning, managing of projects and planning, but also the expenditure patterns, yeah. That might suffice. Let me just highlight that. Yes,
still on that one, just to make myself understand, is it a project or is it part of what they do up to eternity? The we are one or whatever they call it. Is it my understanding is that it came in during the, is it having it a lifespan, or is it a program, or rather a project that is ongoing?
As I understood the feedback from the department during the year was to do with the xenophobia outbreak and to deal specifically with it. And I think maybe our recommendation that I've indicated now that if there might happen something else in society that, you know, even the fees must fall, whatever, there might be a big issue coming in society. Now, how do you deal with it? The Secretariat, they must make provision for that. So it's difficult to maybe predict what's coming, but in terms of the project planning, they must say there might be issues coming and they must have that space in terms of their budget and planning. So that is what we're really calling for. If there's such an event maybe in society that comes to the fore, they must be able to, you know, deal with it in terms of their projects and outreach and things like that. Special projects, yeah. So there must be better planning, you know, that they're not swamped by now crisis in society and how to respond. Honorable Ramatlakani.
Just a small on 10. It gives 3 months for the Secretariat to report back. Now, 3 months, is it end of January 2017? I mean, 3 months, just maybe put it to a date, to a month. When is the end period of that, so that it's clear? I'm just wondering, Chair, in that term, whether we shouldn't put in a small sentence that remind the Secretariat to adhere to peer review. Because what we are talking about there on 10, it's not even in acceptance practice in terms of peer review to compare it for other division or other department in your budget. So adherence to peer review inclusion, I think we should be able to remind them about the peer review requirements.
Honorable Chair, we can include that. I'm just thinking the 3 months, they did give us an explanation to the member chair that they've resolved the matter, but they haven't given us a formal report. So maybe we can do it at the end of November. It's better than 3 months.
refer to the department, if that can just, at the very last word, if that could just refer to the secretariat in the same line as Honorable Bailey pointed out earlier.
Thank you very much, colleagues. We will then ask the Secretariat and Content Advisor to effect the suggestions. Thank you very much for your fruitful input. We appreciate that very much, and also the other debate on the activities and internal workings of the committee. That was also interesting. We will now, our Secretariat will inform us by SMS today about our venue for tomorrow, 10 o'clock. We will hopefully just spend an hour and 15 minutes on the report of the IPET, recommendations and other matters, and then we'll conclude, and then we're ready for Friday at 9, and it won't be a very long meeting on Friday. So thank you very much, colleagues. Have a good afternoon. We see you tomorrow at 10 at the undisclosed venue.